All right. Thank you, Charlie. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. It's August 14, 2024, and this is a collective bargaining session between the bargaining team for the UFF chapter at UCF and the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. And as is our custom, the first thing that we'd like to present is the minutes, the proposed minutes from our last meeting on August 5th.
Yeah. Looks good to me.
It's good.
No objections?
No objections.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We've got minutes from our last meeting. And Talat, I appreciate how you and I are able to communicate shortly before the meeting and kind of plan the agenda. Thank you for being so responsive and making that work for us. I think it's very helpful.
It's really good. I didn't write to you, Chuck, but we do have a couple more articles. But as we go along, I'll tell you.
And well, I hope we get to them because it seems like we got a pretty packed afternoon, but that's okay. Thank you for letting me know. After the minutes, what I would like to propose, since Sandra Savinsky is with us right now, and she's certainly got other things to do besides collective bargaining, if there's a response to Article 18, it seemed last time like some of the questions that had been raised were actually proactively solved by the definition or the incorporation of a definition for scholarly works. So I think we may be making some progress on Article 18. Talat, I'll turn it over to you to see if there's a response from the UFF.
Right. So there's one simple one. And if I may share my screen, I think I can do that. Sandra, I think you did a great job of going through this. Can you see my screen?
I can.
Okay. And you see the highlighted part. So I think we just wanted to be sure, and we also, if it needs further clarification, maybe a sentence could be introduced. What we were wondering about here, you know, this comes back to the same thing. And as we all agreed, right now, we do not have to get permission to publish any scholarly work, which is, you know, journal articles, books, and so on. We don't get UCF's permission before we publish. So just want to make sure that is not explicitly said any place, particularly when we go up on top, it describes work as including that, but we know what the common practice is. So the question is that supposing somebody writes a book and the book is critical of, say, an important personality in the state, and I mean, at present, individual or group can publish the book. What guarantees that that right is there? I mean, we have assumed it. That's how all universities operate. But we just want to be clear that that's what will continue. So do we need to add a clause here, or do you think it's all understood? If it is understood, I think this recording will be there, and you know, maybe that will serve as the agreement. But I just want to make sure because we're going through different times.
I think that this section that you have highlighted, if we go back up to the top of it where it starts, which is 101 on line 101, and so that's where that definition that we added is helpful, because we're talking about the disclosure process, and the rest of this section is all talking about that.
Okay.
Where those are exempt.
Okay.
From this disclosure university review process. So I suppose you could add, I mean, I don't think you would want to add it at every single.
No.
But this is the section that that's referring to, so.
Right. I know Robert has some. Robert, did you want to ask a question or something related?
Yeah, related, because I don't think what Sandra's pointing to is actually answering the question, if you don't mind. I think the question is what happens if someone were to publish a book or article that, say, is critical of a contemporary state personality or state governmental personality? Does, through this article, would UCF have the right to squash that as a UCF property? Does that make sense?
So I think if we go back, so this article in section one, up starting on line 102.
102, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Upon creation of a work, which is a larger group, that's the larger definition, employee shall disclose any work that was not made in the course of independent creative effort in the new language, and or that is not a scholarly work or instructional material. So, if we go to the definitions of scholarly work and instructional material, because those are exempt here.
Mm-hmm.
So that will define for you the ownership.
I'm sorry, Charlie, can you go back to the scholarly work section?
It's not me, it's Talat.
Oh, Talat, sorry. There, stay right there.
So lines 52 through 55 define.
Right. Yeah, let me just read it real quick. Okay. I think that answers the question. Thank you,
so
Sandra.
This article 18 is describing the ownership rights, you know, of the university. That's not necessarily the exclusive
mm-hmm.
purview of the university over all activities of the faculty related to those works. And so that's not something that is going to be
yeah.
answered here necessarily.
Sure.
But the ownership, I feel, is answered here.
Sure. Thank you for addressing the concerns, Andrew.
Okay. And if that's the case, then the version that you guys had last time is fine with us.
Okay, so I can send that to you for signature.
Can we wait 1 second?
Yeah.
Okay. That's wonderful news. I think there's a couple of little minor things that we wanted to implement. Sandra had pointed out to us in between bargaining sessions that there were a couple of occurrences, I think it's a handful of occurrences of the phrase instructional material
uh-huh.
elsewhere in the article, and we want to capitalize them like we do where instructional material is defined.
Yeah.
Sandra, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, and I didn't know, that's my fault. I missed that when I very first introduced the new definition. I didn't go through and make sure that we had all of them. I missed a couple of them.
We did this thing here where we just sort of capitalized instructional material throughout a lot. That's the only change since
mm-hmm.
We've talked. So if as long as you don't have a, what that does is it makes it a term of art, right, Sandra?
Yes.
So when you send it, I'll read it over, make sure that we are
sure.
in agreement, and I think I'll sign it and send it back.
Of course. Thank you.
Perfect.
Okay, so I guess we're saying that article is TTA'd, tentatively agreed to. Is that it?
Yes.
Is that a fair way to say it?
That's a fair way to say it. We're down one more.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Talat. And Sandra, thank you for all the work that you did on that article.
Thank you all.
I think it's important to point out that change with the scholarly work was something that Sandra detected wasn't covered, and it was helpful to the faculty to make that change. And that's why we came in and proposed it. Sandra's the one that really said, you know, we're overlooking this, we need to address this, and we did. And then we see that precisely respond to some of the concerns that, that you had last time. So Sandra, we're very grateful for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thanks, appreciate it.
And Sandra, I guess you are excused. Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
And then, so I had sent to you was a suggestion that perhaps we could hear from your team on the proposal we made last time for Article 23.
Right. So, yeah, so here we are, and Article 23. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Okay, so let me share my...
I can share it, and you can just tell me where to go if you want.
No, I it's better if I share.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, you stopped sharing, so that's okay. So I should be able to... Yeah, because, you know, we made changes and it's better if it is here, but you can always go back to...
Oh, I didn't know you had a proposal. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, we do. Yeah, so that's the one we're sharing. So, yeah, so this is... basically, you know that particularly now that we are seeing that the number of people who are in the other ranks, the instructor, lecturer, and others, it seems, you know, to fair to us to keep that parity. And so basically, this is what, you can see my screen, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so this is what you guys had proposed, which we are really glad that you did, because that brings us at par with our sister institutions. So we really appreciate that. And we are what we are asking is that the same be done at the non-tenure earning level. And so that is our request. So the change here is highlighted. You had 9% there, 10% there, which is the present rate. And so that's the change that we are requesting. Then we want to make sure that we recognize that it's good that you added it here. We appreciate that, Chuck, that there was no salary increase or one-time payment for 23-24. And what we have added to that is that this article represents salary increases over a period of 2 years. That's what we are basically talking about. And so for that, the first part, we are fine. We have not made any changes there. In fact, we have highlighted wherever we've made it changes, maybe.
But, I'm sorry, is it okay if I ask questions as we're going through this, or do you want me to wait till the end?
No, you can ask as we go through them.
Our team's going to have to look at this. There's no question about it. I don't want to. It's unlikely I'm going to be able to say, yeah, we'll take this as is. On lines 25 and 26, if we were to include something like that, I think we would specify the years.
Okay.
So that it's clear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Over two, yeah, right, right.
Academic years.
Right, yeah. That's right. Yes.
Okay. Because there was a raise in January of 23, so you'd have to.
I could put that in right now. And then I could put it right here. If we were to do two academic years, why don't I just do it so that 23 to 2024 and 2024. To 2025. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I had in mind. So it's something we want to consider. Thank you for suggesting.
So because that, as you will see, that kind of have to set the stage for the argument that I'm making. And so we will leave this part untouched and we can get back to it. But basically what we are asking here, you had the number that you had here was 3%. And what we are, and I'll give you a rationale for why we are asking for 8%. And the reason, and that 3%, it was really for this year, coming year, 24-25. If we were to talk about it over 2 years, then that's really 1.5, or however you want to break three. So now let me give you a bit of a rationale for why that number came up. And that's actually quite interesting because we have data. We've been looking at various places where they've done analysis. In fact, what is interesting is that their colleagues around campus who are doing analysis, and I'm not going to point out exactly who sent it to us, but there was a very nice analysis done by colleagues in engineering, and essentially what this analysis basically says, UCF currently proposes a 3% to base salary, and what they did is they went to this Bureau of Labor Statistics, and again, I'm not an expert on this, and they said if implemented immediately on top of other increases UCF has made since September 2019, baseline used by the Senate Personnel Committee, that then UCF pay baseline, that is CPI adjustment, increases to 279.205, which is the just 13.76% below the unadjusted CPI index for the United States of 314.50. Please don't ask me what those mean. I have to do take a tutorial on that and figure that out. But I do understand that we are below.
Is there something you can share with us? Is there something you could send?
I can write down
all those numbers fast.
I will say that what I read to you, I will cut and paste that paragraph and send it to you as the item number one that we discussed. But of course, we realize that there's a one-time payment also that's coming. So that number would be a little bit higher. But the problem with one-time payment is that it is one time. And that really doesn't help if you're trying to recruit excellent faculty. The other one, which I will not be able to send you the whole thing, but I'll send you a summary of it. We hired a forensic accountant to do a budget analysis for us. And they did it all the way from 2015, 2016 academic year to 2023, 24. They had a little bit more difficulty with the last 2 years because the data type they used was the actual spending, whereas the others, they use a budgeted spend, as they call it. So they did a good bit of analysis there and came up with some numbers about, which is quite interesting. Of course, when you do these analysis, you're looking at averages rather than anything else. So they had some difficulty because some designations, some titles have changed as well. And these are they're looking at really the averages, right? So not everything was okay for them. So, but within those, here's a summary, and I can send you the summary. It says from 2015 to 2021, faculty saw on average small positive changes in average salaries between 2 to 4%. In 2021, the average faculty salary decreased by 1% relative to the prior year. And so essentially, they're saying in terms of average that this is a pay cut. The driver of this change appears to be stagnant salaries for most faculty, while the total increase in the number of professors outpaced the amount of salary allocated to that job title, resulting in a minus 6% decrease in the average professor salary year over year. What the other thing that they did, now they go and include the last 2 years, and they say overall the total average salary decreased by 3%. But that decree, that was not borne equally across all ranks and so forth. But the point that I want to come to is that they then relate this with inflation. And then say for 2016 to 2021, the average, the increase in average salary per employee was greater than or equal to the consumer price index over year over year change. In 2021, the change in average salary per employee was minus 1%, while the consumer price index increased 4%, thus equating to a 5% cut in terms of purchasing. Then they go and now include the 2023-24 change in average salary, and this change in average salary per employee is minus 3%, while the consumer price index was 5%. That's equating to an 8% pay cut in terms of the purchasing power. So basically, that number comes from two sources. One is I'm going to present you some of what other sister campuses have gotten over these two academic years. And then the other is this analysis. So essentially, what this, the bottom line that they're saying is that it indicates UCF has been doing the bare minimum in terms of raises for some time now. And you know, and essentially we are not keeping up with the cost of living and increases. So that is, this 8% came from there. Now, what is also interesting, and this actually, I have that screen, so I won't change it, but I don't know if you guys got the news from University of Florida. It's a link that I will send. I will also send you the article. Basically, the article says, this came from August 12th, University of Florida puts $25 million towards faculty salary raises. And officials with the University of Florida announced Monday afternoon that the school's board of trustees voted unanimously to use $25 million in overhead cost savings to create a merit raise pool for faculty and staff and so on. So they're basically, what they're doing, and this is, has yet to be bargained with the in-unit faculty, I mean, bargaining unit, the CBA and all that. But they have created basically a 4% merit raise pool for those in the out of unit, and in the bargaining unit, it will be similar. And there's a 3.7% for staff. UCF trustees also approved a one-time of 10,000 bonus to faculty who receive and exceeds expectations rating in their post-tenure review evaluation. So this is coming directly from UF, but then we are recipient to some other, from some other schools too. And in fact, I'll only present two of them here. I can get you those from FIU and FSU and UNF, which are actually even higher numbers. But I'm just took two more. One of them, because they're very current, one of them came from Gulf Coast University. And that's, and there they say, and I'll send you this because it, the announcement was sent to all faculty there or all bargaining unit members there. On salaries, we negotiated a 4.4% across the board for academic year 24-25, along with 1,700 one-time payment, in addition to monies for retroactive pay and all that. So actually, I mean, not retroactive. This increment is retroactive. It goes, start date is August 7th, but then they also talk about what they got last year, and I believe I have them in the file that I'll send you. So over the 2 years, they are looking at close to again 10% or so. So this is Gulf Coast. The other one is University of West Florida, and there, I think the in fact, I could actually. I can stop sharing. Maybe people can see it better if I stop sharing and come back to it. So, why don't I do that and share again? So that's the one coming from University of West Florida. And I think I may have to increase it a little bit because it may be small, but I think you can say it. So this is theirs. And again, it's 4% base salary. This is 24-25, 4% base salary, 4% one-time bonus for distinguished. And then, so they have a little bit of a ladder there, but that's what they have for this year. Then again, what they got for 23-24, and are the numbers here, again, 2.9 across the board, 4% base salary for distinguished, 3 for excellent, 2% for good, some money for inversion. So basically they're talking about, the raise is not the same for all, but it's a substantial raise that we're talking about here. So those are two institutions. And so, when we look at that, I can give you numbers for UNF are actually much larger, and FSU is also larger, but I did not put it here. So, you know, we're really talking about substantial increases that most campuses have gotten over these 2 years. They at USF, they're still negotiating, and they're also negotiating for something close to what we are asking. So we think that this 8% that we are asking is not unreasonable, and that's what we would like you to take to higher administration here.
We'll be happy to take all the information you've got, all the data you've got. We'd appreciate that.
We'll send you, and
happy to share that with the provost.
If it's okay with you, then I will also add the numbers from FSU and UNF, which I have someplace, but I didn't put it here. So I could add that to the data that we send you.
Now, thank you for anything you can send for us to review. Thank you.
Okay, great. And then we're talking about the comprehensive post-tenure review. And again, you can come back with what you think about this, but we really, we are convinced that when it goes to add addition to the base salary, and this is something that institutions, I think I mentioned Central Michigan University, where they do it, and they've been doing it in perpetuity, that whatever the amount, it goes to the base salary. So basically, we kept the amount that you proposed, but what we are asking is that be to the base salary rather than one time. And this is what it is for all of this here. Now, the other thing is that we really do not want to go through this revisiting of the RIA, and we did a survey, by the way, and about 250 people have so far responded, and it's quite interesting what we are getting, and these RIA and TIP and SOTL are very popular. That's what helps particularly junior faculty, as soon as they're getting tenure, and also non-tenure earning faculty, to be able to add $5,000 to their base. That also keeps them really motivated. And we agree with you that it would be good to spread this around. So if they get, in fact, I should have added SOTL to this also, that, they can decide on one of those awards rather than getting all three or two at the same time. That is fair, because that spreads things around a little bit. Joanna, did you want to say something?
It's a point of clarification. So for people who have already in the past received a TIP or RIA, does that mean moving forward, they will no longer be able to apply for them?
The way we had proposed this, if they were tenured, that's correct. They would no longer be able to apply.
Okay. All right.
Isn't that just for the 5 years, though? No?
If they are tenured, they would not be eligible to apply.
Okay. And
the way we proposed Article 23 last time.
Oh, and then I think as you scroll so fast a lot, did you say that you would return RIAs and TIPs back to tenurable faculty?
Yes, I have taken all the changes that was proposed by... we worked on this, and what we did is we took out the changes that were there. So this is the language from last.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. It's just you're rolling so fast. Thank you.
Well, I can roll very slowly, but you can stop me if I'm going fast. Okay. Would anybody like me to go back, or is it clear? All right. So the annual incentive award program, that is basically asking that it be reverted to where it was, but accepting the change that you made, which helps spread it out rather than focus it on a few people. So that is the one. That one was, and we brought back SOTL as well, as they are. So essentially, we didn't want this to be changing. So this is all language from the full book from last year, last time. I think this one is fine, what you suggested. So we have taken, incorporated the changes. I think you had made some changes here. So there, this is,
yes.
Yeah. So there, no, I think we just accepted those. And I think this is all fine. And then all these awards are the same. We can go over if there's any question over here. I think, yeah, essentially, I think these were eliminated, but we have you.
Talat, excuse me. It looks like I'm, you're fine right there. Looks like on line 311, that you were okay with us saying that it's the provost or designee that makes the final decision on the excellence award.
Yes, because it doesn't matter. I mean, I think that's what happens now anyway, right? Isn't that the practice, Chuck?
It is. I believe the president has been consulted on those as the final decision maker. There are some things that the president does designate to the provost, and I think this would be one that might make sense.
What we had is president or designee, which would have covered the provost. So, you know, I know that the trustee chair used to be something that at least Hick, I think Hitt did it himself. That was from the president's office.
There definitely are some things, the Pegasus professor, for example, that's definitely the president's decision.
Right. So that is the one over here, right?
That's earlier in that section.
That's
yes.
Earlier in the section. So this one, in this one, so the change that you are suggesting, that is not impacting.
It's only for the excellence awards, the awards that are given out on Founders Day.
Right. And so the Pegasus professor, where do you say who's going to do that? I don't think you say anything. So we weren't sure why you wanted this, but if you wanted this, that's not a problem.
Yeah, it was just for the Excellence Awards. There'd be no change for the other awards.
A recommendation for these awards, maybe what you want to do, since we want clarity, maybe you want to, this, I'm just trying to help you out.
Thank you, Talat. Thank you.
You know, it's, these is maybe ambiguous here. Maybe you want to make it clear. I mean, you know, as far as we are concerned, we want to get the award. We don't care who gives it.
Okay. We'll take a look at that suggestion on line 310.
It could be Chuck Riley giving it.
No, it wouldn't be worth as much. We don't want to do that.
No, but why don't you take a look if you really wanted to make that change, because we looked at it and, you know, president can designate anyone anyway. So that's fine. The thing is, the ADI, we want to also keep the same language as before. And so essentially, most of it is going back to the Article 23 that we had before.
It's a little hard for me to see.
Okay. Let me go back.
As we do it this way, but I appreciate all that you've done. Do the highlights indicate changes you're suggesting?
Highlight indicate changes, and the rest of it is either the language from what we have accepted to be yours, or, in other words, if you accept ours, then all you have to do is remove the highlights. And so we basically accepted all your changes that were fine. But if you want, I can make the changes in just the one you presented.
Well, we'll take a look at that. That's I understand what you did.
Becoming a little bit too messy.
I think it says May 6, 2024. I think you probably update that, but I understand what you're doing. So thank you.
Yeah, because basically, you know, the good thing was that it kept saying, you guys did this, do I accept or reject? And some I accepted and some I didn't.
Okay, we'll take a look at it. We understand how you went through
that. I thought it's more readable this way. you know, and
No, it definitely is more readable.
So yeah, that's fine. And so that's it. I think that's our Article 23. I'll stop sharing unless you want me to say something. But yeah, so please, if you have any more questions on that, then.
Well, Talat, we look forward to getting your version of 23. We look forward to seeing the information that you shared with us. Some of it you were able to display, some of it you're just sharing with us verbally. I thank you for all that. We'll take a look at it. Don't know how much we can do. I know that there was, you know, one of the things that we looked at was the incentive awards, particularly the incentive awards that had gone to tenured faculty. And it's some of the recurring money that is freed up from those awards that made it possible to do the increases for the raises for the tenure track faculty who are promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it possible to do one-time payments for faculty with the better results on the post-tenure review. And we use the recurring funds for the raise, for the promotion raises, and the one-time funds for what we had proposed as one-time payments. So we'll take a look at this. I'm eager to get it and be able to look at it very carefully and speak to the provost about it. I know it's considerably more than, you know, what we had proposed. So, you know, we'll take a look at it. But I want to make sure that it's clear what we did with those incentive awards that we were proposing to convert either to promotion raises or one-time payments for the folks for the post-tenure review. So we'll take a look at this. But I think what you're asking us to do is to find more money than is really available. So we'll take a look at it. We want to do some calculations with it. And
right. I think in all of these places, but, you know, so UCF, and we talked about it last time about how new funds have come to UCF, just like they have to USF and UF. So that's the argument people have been making. I think, you know, we also have the message that was given by the president that there'll be substantial changes in salaries, and also the message from the provost from April, which says that we've been taking steps to implement a university-wide raise program and so on, and again to counter inflation and so forth. So basically, what we are talking about is that, you know, we've been following what our university administrators, high administrators have been saying, and we've seen what they are doing at other places, and we think that similar things could be done over here. So
we will take a look at that. Thank you for sharing that information with us. And, you know, the sooner we get it, the sooner we can begin to work on it and share it.
I think we could get that
the next day or so, that'd be awesome.
No, I'll get you everything today. In fact, as soon as we finish, I have most things ready to go. So, and Robert is going to remind me if I don't send by 4 o'clock, please remind me.
So, is there anything else on Article 23?
I think we're all done. Robert, okay, all right. He's trying to say something, but I think he's okay. All right. Okay, good.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so that's Article 23. Now, I guess we have several articles to present.
Well, what I would wonder if what we could do.
I think we want to. Hello. Let's mute it.
Talat, there's some items on the agenda that I had suggested to
mm-hmm.
you. What I'd
Please.
Offer right now is maybe we can modify this slightly. We would like to present an Article 32.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to talk about what we want to do with 30. We have some data, like data you had requested about PDP applications. I'd okay. rather save that till okay. when we talk about Article 22, because you said you were going
to. Okay. So we actually, and it would be very quick for us to present 3, 5, 16, 17, 18, we already did, 22 and 24.
Well, but, if I can get 32 and 30 out of the way, you can have the floor for the rest of the meeting.
Please, go ahead.
All right. What we would like to do on Article 32, which is the article on that contains definitions, we're proposing status quo.
Okay.
So that one, as far as we're concerned, that's all we have to say about it. We would propose status quo.
Okay. I think we had already proposed that, but that's okay.
Well, if that's the case, that's wonderful. That yeah. may give us two today.
We'll take a look and get back, but I think we had already done that.
Now, very briefly, I wanted to show you something that we had done with Article 30, or we're proposing to do with Article 30. This is not a final Article 30. This is just kind of, we wanted to show you what we anticipate doing. So, Charlie, can you put up Article 30, please? All right, thank you, Charlie. So Article 30 deals with essentially the duration of the collective bargaining agreement that we would be coming to agreement on very soon. That agreement would remain in effect till August 31st, 2027. That's standard. That's the date that these things always stay in effect to, is August 31st. This would be a three-year agreement. We have reopeners that we can do each year. What we have typically been doing is doing the reopeners in the fall. What this is suggesting, and Talat, I had mentioned this to you one time when we were talking, we'd like to head toward doing the reopeners in the spring, which would give us a chance to work on a couple articles, perhaps. And then when we get the budget information, we can deal with the salaries article for the coming academic year. So I think what we've done with what we're doing right now is we've set ourselves up for kind of a new rhythm to the bargaining, where we do more of the bargaining, at least the year-to-year bargaining, in the spring into the summer, so that we're ready to go in the fall or very early in the fall with any increases. And it seems that that's what some of our sister institutions do. They do these things early in the academic year. I think there's some advantages. We'd certainly like to get the money in the hands of our employees sooner. And I think there's some advantages to the university on national rankings to get that money to the faculty as soon as we can. So that's essentially what we're doing. We don't know at this point, what articles we may want to suggest as reopeners. We always reopen the salaries article every year. That would certainly be in there. But there may be as yet unnamed articles that we might reopen either for 25, 26 or 26, 27. And then we've also got a full book that we would open up in the fall of 2026, with the idea that, again, we're going to try to get it done so that at the start of the 27-28 academic year, we're ready to implement salary increases. So that, I just wanted to make sure that you, your team, and the bargaining unit were aware that this is a direction that we see ourselves heading in that we think is advantageous for everybody. There's some details that need to be worked out, but just wanted to show you this is what it would look like. What it, the thing that I had described to you would look something like this if it were to be implemented. Don't know what articles we might reopen right now. We can figure out at the time we're actually negotiating this article what the dates ought to be to reopen those articles. But this, I wanted you to see that it's the late spring. We're looking at, you know, after spring break. We return from spring break and maybe start bargaining it at that time, at least in the years where we're only dealing with a small number of articles that are real.
Mm-hmm.
So that, just wanted you to see that. So thank you for allowing me to show that today.
Okay, that's good. And
okay, Talata, I think you've got some information you want to share with us.
Yeah, so what I was wondering, Chuck, because I do see other places where they get the salaries around April or so, and we are still talking about it in August. So I was wondering how we could do it so that we come up with that, you know, like next year, for example. It would be good to have that out of the way in the spring so that people can get raises starting August.
Well, I don't know that we can get it done in the spring because I don't think we're going to have all the budget information that we would need. But if we're in a position where we got everything else done, we're just wrapping up salaries when the budget information becomes available sometime in July, maybe, we can get this implemented much sooner than the March and April that we've done in the past. I think it'd be a nice way for everybody to start the academic year,
right,
with an increase that's already in place or one that's coming very, very soon rather than waiting for the entire academic year for it. So this is kind of where we think we'd like to head. We think it's advantageous for the employees. We think it's advantageous for the university. So that's where we expect to be proposing something on Article 30.
Okay, great. Okay, I think, you know, why don't I go down the list and begin with the numbers as they are, and then, okay, let me do this. Okay, share screen. And so this is Article 3. So that is in Article 3, I think here the only change that you will see. Okay, so yeah, I think we already agreed with this. So this is our version, yeah. So what we added here, Chuck, is that you had added that provided that office is not essential for university's business purposes, what we have added to that is that if the designated UFF office is needed for business purposes, UCF will locate alternative space for UFF, which is, we understand that you may need that particular space, but something else could be found.
Well, I don't know that that's always true. There are a lot of plans to hire additional faculty. I don't know that we can guarantee that there'll always be an office someplace. You know, at some point, if there's an employee that needs a place to do their job, That's how we've got to use that office.
But, you know, again, this is like in most, not all, but in most campuses, there is an allocated space. And just like you're making it accommodation for all offices, other offices, if this is part of, if this is a goodwill gesture, you know, this is, you know, basically says, okay, we recognize that the union is there and they have a place where people can drop off things. It's where the, you know, it's that recognition of existence. And I think some places they, you know, FIU, we've told you, is right there in the main administration building. Other places have others, and we are not asking it be in a highly visible place. We're just saying anywhere on campus, find us something. So essentially, it's a gesture of goodwill. And with all the, you know, I mean, reorganization and everything else, a small office like the one we have can be found. So this is just recognizing that, yes, that is UFF is an entity that is here and does have the right to some space. Robert?
I would just say, Chuck, there seems to be, I would say, Chuck, there seems to be a lot of open space at the downtown campus if it worse comes to worse.
Yeah, that's an idea.
So is that a request?
No, I'm helping you solve your problems. You said there may be a problem, and I'm trying to be proactive, right?
Yeah. and I would agree,
Chuck,
with you.
Chuck, you should come to me with more of your problems. I think that's the implication here, right?
Well, now that you mention it, Robert, I probably will do that. Thank you for offering. I appreciate that.
Advice is free. Doesn't cost anything.
I don't think there's any other. The mail.
Yes, there's another change. There's another change up top with the mass email.
Yeah. Okay. With regard to the office, you know, as I know I said last time, you know, we've provided an office for I don't know how long. And before I got involved in this part of campus, that office was already there and being used by the UFF. And I know I said this before, there is no intention of ever taking that space away, but I cannot promise that there won't be a time when that space is needed for UCF business purposes, and it might have to be reclaimed. And I don't think that changes, you know, if there's a different office that's assigned to the UFF. At some point, that may just be needed. But, you know, as always, we will look at what you want us to look at, but I don't know that I can make a promise on 3.1.
Robert, you have your hand up.
I do. Can I follow up what you just said, Chuck?
Yeah.
Sure.
So it's my understanding that you will at some point soon be remodeling Phillips Hall. So what would happen to this office during the remodeling period, and would it necessitate maybe an MOU later on down the road or something?
Well, there is some possibility that Howard Phillips Hall would be remodeled, that remodeling is not completely funded as I understand it at this point. So I don't know when that might happen, how soon that might take place. If that were to happen, there may be a lot of people that have to be temporarily housed outside. And, you know, don't know exactly what would be done with those people. So there may be some time when, just because of construction, that office would not be available. And there may be another place at that time. There may not. But, you know, one of the things that we've done for a long time, we have provided that office, and we're pleased to do that. But it's not a mandatory term of bargain, a mandatory condition to be bargained. So you know, the fact that there is such an office that's available now is a sign of the goodwill of the university.
But based on your response, Chuck, it makes our language here more necessary, not less necessary. I just want to point that out.
Well, I understand that it may be more desirable for you. And I said we take a look at it and we will consider. But this, we don't see this as a mandatory subject of bargaining. So that's what I have to say about 3.1 right now. But we look forward to getting your proposal for Article 3. We'll take a look at it.
Okay, and there's this sentence that was added to, we accepted what you suggested, proposed last time, and just added that if UCF finds that emails are not being forwarded, UCF will notify UFF of this oversight before any further action, so it can be corrected. I think we ran into some problems recently, didn't we?
It turns out we did. I don't know whether everybody
Well, I mean,
knows
if
about
I could,
that.
right, if I, I mean, the language here is not precise. I don't know that it matters if Chuck or Craig want to step in here, but technically we wouldn't be forwarding you any messages. We'd be including you in a contact sheet.
Oh,
is technically what would happen, but I don't think that matters because, yeah, because what you're describing here can be achieved. And I think that's what you're after, right, Chuck?
Yeah.
Right. So
we'll take a look at this.
Right. You know. But just to say, what we added here, and just so you know, my concern is that I'm worried, you know, because I'm only going to be president for a couple more weeks, and but there may be a future president. I'm not pointing to Talat here, but a future president down the road, who may not be as savvy with the mass email system, and might not understand how to get that email into the contact list, and you might have to alert them of this so that they can ask the right questions and get set up in the right way, and there's no malicious intent to, you know, to back out of what might be in the final article.
Well, we'll take a look at this, Robert.
So
you know, I don't think that the burden should be on the university to make sure that things get forwarded. I would hope that if there's a transition, there's some guidance that's left with the incoming leadership so that it's clear how to do this. I know, Robert, you know, you've been very effective at doing this. I know there's a little hiccup recently, and you know, it's amounted to nothing. You know what happened, and it's not going to happen again. And that's fine. I think it's incumbent upon the UFF to relay that information about the use of the email to its incoming leadership. I don't see this as being something that the university should be taken care of.
One thing, Robert. Basically, the problem that comes in, Chuck, is this thing here. When you say copy ccas at ucf.edu, apparently with this mass email, you cannot copy. Because when you copy, you know that you've done it, right? But apparently you cannot do that. So that's where the problem comes in. And
So if we change the word copy to forward?
No, either doesn't work. Technically, it doesn't work, but I don't know. There may be a future mass email system where this does work. So I don't think we should quibble over the mechanics of it. I think it's clear what the intent is, and that the intent can be achieved. What I'm concerned about is if, you know, because, you know, you don't know who is going to be president in the future down the road. Maybe you're gone, Chuck, right? I'm gone. For whatever reason, there might be a president who, you know, doesn't understand, you know, the finer points of the mechanics of the mass email system. And what I think I'm trying to achieve here with this language, or what we're trying to achieve with this language here, is to say, before you go to a ULP, you just gently notify UFF and say, this has been violated. We're just alerting you this has been violated. If it's not, you know, taken care of in a matter of weeks, the next step is going to be reached. And I would assume whoever is present at that point in time will take care of it if they don't realize they haven't been. That's sort of what I'm trying. If there's a better way to explain it than that, Chuck, I'd be all ears. But I think that's fair. That's just a courtesy, a conversation. You know, it's just a courtesy, just a conversation to say, before we go to a nuclear option, by the way, you know, we've noticed that this is not being achieved, you know, something like that.
All right. Again, send us the language. We'll take a look at it if we have a
way. Well, I got the language here. I'm saying if you wanted to revise this language, then just so you know my rationale.
Well, and I appreciate understanding your rationale. I'm not real good at editing things on the fly. So yeah. I'd like to, you know, have a chance to look at it. If there's something that I think is better, I'll let you know if I think this is this takes care of it. We'll let you know about that as well. But I thank you for explaining the rationale behind that sentence. Thank you.
So yeah, I think I will be sending everything to you. And basically, I'm showing Article 5, but I don't even need to show you because we just want to keep the language from last time. So we think this, what you had suggested change here, it really didn't, it's already covered. So we didn't want that. So we essentially, we want to go to the way it is right now. And this is essentially taking your last version and just saying in which you had made this addition that we don't need to make the addition, which will take us back to how we have it right now. So we had suggested a change that you didn't like, then you suggested a change. What we're saying, let's just get back to where we were. So I don't think it's, you know, we already had a good bit of discussion on academic freedom. We already had your affirmation on that, and that there's no change in policy. So what we're saying is that let's go back to status quo.
All right, we will take a look at that as well.
Sure. So let me stop sharing that. And that is basically going back to where we were.
And Talat, I'm sorry. Article 5, you're saying would your proposal right now is status quo?
Yeah. That's it. And Article 16 is the one that's next on my list. And in Article 16, I hope we can get, let's just see. That's the one. Okay, so that's here. So this is basically, I have literally taken your last version and then going through it. So I'm going slowly. These highlighted parts came from you because you had these, changes. All of them are there, from there. And I think there's only one change to your last version, okay? So here is, this is what you had suggested, which is fine with us. This is lines 39 to 42. If there was a reduced disciplinary action. And then the only change is here. I think this came, if I click on it, it will say it came from you. Yeah, that's, no, that's from Charlie. The only thing here is that we say that the employee will be given 6 months. So you said up to 6 months, and we don't want to keep it at up to, because then it could be 2 days. But we basically say maybe given 6 months. But this is, again, we made it very clear that, so this is, again, a tenured appointment, or appointment may be terminated during its term for just cause. Very explicit, okay? Cases in which the president or representative determines that an employee's actions do not adversely affect the functioning of the university or jeopardize the safety or welfare of the employee, colleagues or student, employee, colleagues or students, the employee may be given 6 months notice. Okay, so you had said up to 6 months, and we said
right,
make it 6 months. You can take a look and get back to us on that.
Yeah, we will do that. Thank you.
I think, you know, in that sense,
we. And it looks like
that's the only thing.
That's the only thing in 16. There was another change that we had made in the first section of Article 16, and you didn't make any comment about that. So I just want to make sure that one is okay as well.
I think the what you said there was university expectations, including those expressed in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that language okay?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
It's too late in the day to argue about that. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I understand.
No. That's it. So 17, I think I won't even, I'll open it for myself here. But basically, 17 is about leaves. And I I tried to go through it, and I think there were some editorial changes that you guys made. I don't think I'm even going to share it with you. And there is one place where, I know it needs a little bit of discussion. So 17, this is where time off came in, okay? So let me not even show it, but just talk about it. So essentially, there were lots of places where leave was replaced by time off. And what we also gathered from your colleague who was here last time, that this is something that is being worked upon. We don't have a workday. Yeah, Benton Anderson was here, and workday has not yet established this. So we, you know, we will be open to replacing the word leave with time off once everything has been defined in workday. But for the moment, we would like to basically keep the status quo for Article 17.
The whole thing?
For the whole thing.
I think time off is a change from workday, and that's why it was proposed. So that's how workday expresses time. For instance, like sick leave, that's how workday expresses it, as sick time off, not as sick leave. And that's a very simple, straightforward thing. But I understand if you're looking for status quo, I'll just write that.
Yeah.
Well, and Talat, I'll also add, I looked recently at both workday and the HR website, and time off is officially used in workday. That's what it is. A person makes a request for time off. But there are still policies and so forth on the HR website that talk about leave. They don't talk about time off.
So and, once you get
So I want to take a look at 17. There are places where we made a replacement. There are other places where we have leave / time off. And I guess I'm sort of thinking that maybe
that would be fine.
I'm thinking out loud. I just told Robert I don't like to edit things on the fly, and here I go. Maybe leave / time off.
That's no problem.
Is something that we might take a look at. So
that's what was said.
Yeah. So okay. I see. So you did have that, right? In most places. Yeah.
I don't know that it's every place.
Right. So take a look at that. Right. Here it was. Right. And this is, you know, those are the items where we don't want any substantive change. If they change to comply with what's on workday, there's no problem.
We'll take a look at the time off leave question.
Yeah.
I actually think it's better if some places something's referred to as leave and other places it's referred to as time off. The best thing to do is to use both terms.
Yeah.
So it's clear. And then if we go to if we completely adopt the time off that's used in workday, we can update this later on. But I think the last thing we want to do, it's called something leave some places, time off another place, and expect them to be used interchangeably.
Yeah. So why don't
we'll take a look at 17. I think there's some other things in 17 that we may come back and talk to you about as well. And we'll take a good look at 17 again.
Yeah, and then the next one is we have 22 and one more, and then we can take a look again. So this is 22, which is sabbaticals and professional development program, and here again, so we got feedback I know you had taken off further education because you thought it was already included. When we got the questionnaire back from bargaining unit members, they had a strong emphasis on keeping the word further education in there. So that is the one change that's there. The rest of it is I've basically accepted your changes. Okay, anytime, any place I have done anything different, I have highlighted it. But here I've just accepted the dates because that makes it a lot easier for me to read. And this is all fine. Here, I think here again, the same thing. You're talking about the college dean, which is fine. This is just rewording. That is fine for us. I didn't take this off because I thought that was not as confusing. The dates get very confusing when we cut them several times. And so then terms of sabbatical program, we've got that. There were some questions this time because apparently someone was granted a sabbatical, and then they found out that because they had joined in the spring semester, they had not completed those 5 years.
Correct, that did happen.
Right. So they wanted to make sure that we had that in our article. But as I read it, it says explicitly that should.
Well, this is something that we've done over the last couple of revisions to this article, just to add additional clarity.
That's what I thought we did.
When we're talking about academic years,
right,
which are clearly defined in the Article 32 that we talked about earlier.
Right, but then I don't know how that happened. Maybe it slipped through the system.
I don't know how it happened either. It's very sad that it didn't.
Yeah. So one thing that I did want to ask, because this individual did go through this, then, and I think it was not even the competitive one, but the non-competitive. Would that not automatically be granted next year? Because they have already gone through the process and gotten everything lined up?
Well, I believe the person in question believed that they were getting a type 2 sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't even have been an application. So I don't think that application should carry over, because it really shouldn't even be there.
It could work well if she ranks higher next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps fine tunes a proposal to be, you know, more competitive.
Exactly. Charlie, thank you for mentioning that. There's a possibility that this person could get a 1A or 1B type sabbatical next year. So I don't think it's necessarily even to the faculty members' advantage to say we're going to roll it over.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it, the application just, it shouldn't have been there.
So
I feel badly that happened.
Yeah.
And I know there are other people that feel very badly that it happened, but it did. And we've taken steps recently in changes we've made to Article 22, trying to prevent this very thing from happening. And as you've just reminded us, the language is pretty clear right now that this shouldn't happen. We're doing everything on academic years. Everything is done on academic years. I hope this is the last time we have to deal with this kind of confusion, but you know, it's unfortunate. I feel terrible about it. I know there are other people that feel terrible about it. But the application just simply should not have been submitted.
Okay. All right. So So then this is all fine.
I'm sorry. Can we look right there? 103 right. And 104, you're saying is fine?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we didn't. Look, we're trying to accommodate you, Chuck.
And I appreciate that, Talat. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the things that stare at you and say that this is really a problem, I think, yeah. So, yeah, no, I think that's fine. And yeah, and I don't know why I highlighted this one.
I know why.
Yeah.
Because you're telling me you think we'd be better to say leave slash time off.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Well, when you are accommodating, I'll try to be as cooperative
all right,
as I can.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay. And then we go down, and then there's the PDP. And again, it's the same thing here because, and we do need to get the data because here again, there's a very strong response from the bargaining unit members that these two tracks should be treated in parallel and that, here, of course, I've got this thing on the non-ENG funding, and I don't, that's fine, what you submitted here. The other is that, we do not like this, what you added, and I didn't change the numbering here, that university's representative shall ask the corresponding college dean or division to affirm or deny the merit of each application ranked by the university committee. We don't think this is fair. Because the committee has already been assigned with the task, they have done their job. It should not be vetoed by the college dean. I mean, they already have the power to accept or not accept, but whether the ranking is okay or not, that we think is not fair to either the committee or the individual who's being considered. So we would like to cross that one out. Then the rest of it is fine.
Well, excuse me, Talat. I think you said something that's not quite true for the PDP. The deans don't have a chance to review the ranking on the PDPs. They review the rankings on the sabbaticals. The way the PDPs work right now, there's a university committee that may be composed of people that have very little knowledge about the subject area of the applicant. And, something that you've mentioned to us before, that it's important that people that can kind of really evaluate these things that understand something about the discipline are involved in making those kinds of decisions. Right now, as it stands with the PDPs, the university committee can be composed of people from entirely different parts of campus doing entirely different types of jobs than the people that apply. And the college has had no say at all, and the college has to come up with the funding to pay for that PDP. So we think that that the dean has a chance to affirm. Yeah, this is great. This is good for the college. Let's do this.
But where is it? Where does the dean have? What we are talking about is the ranking, right? What we're talking about. So I thought if we go down further, doesn't the dean have the say? I know we've gone through this before, and I thought we did work on
it. We're proposing that we add that now.
Okay. PDP appointment shall be granted contingent upon availability of staff and unit funds. Availability of staff. If staffing or fiscal considerations preclude a PDP appointment from being granted, the employee shall be provided the PDP for the following academic year or at a later time as agreed by the employee and the college and the dean. So basically what we're saying is that if the person is evaluated correctly is evaluated and ranked and there are no funds, and then the dean or the whoever is in charge there has the authority to delay it for as long as it takes to get the staffing and the funds.
And you're absolutely correct. When that's exactly what it says, when we're short on staff or funds.
Yeah.
But the question that we were addressing in the previous statement is, what if there's a question about the value of the proposed project to the college?
Maybe then what we want to word it is not in terms of the ranking, but rather, I mean, you're addressing something different, right? Because the ranking may be done based on the merit of the proposal, and if that is ranked, So what you want is that how does this add to the units? So, for example, in the sabbatical, we don't have that, because in the sabbatical, what we're assuming is that the individual is going to do something in their field.
And the dean gets to view the ranked list in the dean's college and can adjust, can make changes.
Where does it say that? That's what I didn't find. Which line should I look at?
Go up to right there.
Okay.
We have something similar to what you just pointed out, starting in line 73.
Okay. Absent a legitimate business reason other than the dean shall make a form from the rank list and consult with the committee that does not follow the committee's list.
With the PDPs, the dean at this time never sees the list.
Why don't we make a totally parallel language, since we are trying to have the two things at par?
Then that says there needs to be a PDP committee established in each college.
I know. We went through that last time. Yeah, and we don't have that. That's what you're saying. So what you're saying is that it goes to a PDP committee, and where is the PDP committee right now?
The PDP committee is selected, I believe, by faculty excellence.
Uh-huh. And what you're saying is that
No. It's election for
PDP. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's done by election.
Okay, thank you, Charlie.
Okay, so
but it's not within the college, where the sabbatical committee in each college is composed of a representative from each unit.
I know we went through that. I know we went through all the construction. So what you're saying is that that is too complicated. We came up with all kinds of recipes last year on how we were going to, last time we were going to do it. But what you're saying is that when that list is made, nobody from the college has looked at that.
Correct.
Whereas here, why don't we do this? We can do one of two things. We could work on this and give it back to you, or we could give it to you the way it is, and see if you can make them, you know, parallel. I think we can. The language, I mean, this just seemed, the way it is, it seemed very heavy-handed, but I think I know what you're trying to get at. So the better thing would be to have a language that is similar. I mean, it's and we don't want the sabbatical committees to be mixed up with the PDP committees, right? Because a lot of times there's no difference.
They are not.
Yeah, and the PDP committee is chosen from other people who at some point could be applying for a PDP. So people that could be considered for sabbaticals are on the sabbatical committee in the college. People who might apply for a PDP are on a university committee that does not interact at all with the colleges.
Difference is that sabbatical is in a college and PDP is in, at the university.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think why don't we not call this one done, but rather we look at it on both sides and see what we can do.
But you'll send us the version with your.
We'll send us the version then, anyway, and then we talk about it. Yeah, I see what happened, and I know that we talked about it at length last time, and then in the end we said let's continue with the way things are. Okay. All right. Believe it or not, we are almost at the last one. Okay. This one, Chuck, I'm doing it for you and me. Personally. Okay. Because I think we haven't. So basically, right. So any place that we have made changes, we have highlighted. So there's no problem here.
Can you show us the article you're looking at?
Oh, sorry. Did I not share?
Yeah. Oh. We have no objections yet.
I am sharing it with myself only. Okay. Okay, so this thing, Robert, I think we blew it. I think I'm using your version and not mine. That's okay.
No, you're using your version, not mine.
That's not true. Oh, let's not argue. Okay. What happened was that they had crossed this out. And right, Chuck, you guys had crossed this out.
I think so. I can.
Yes, you have. But I didn't understand why
yes.
You crossed it out.
Can Talat and I go into a caucus, just the two of us?
Fine.
Charlie, can you do that?
Hold on, I'm trying. I hit the breakout rooms button and I don't know. Oh, there we go.
Well, let's see. First, I have to stop sharing. Yeah, okay.
All right, did one show up?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know what you have. I may have opened a bunch of them. Just choose one talk and then you can go.
Yeah, so if everyone don't go in the caucus, it's just for Talat and I.
Shall I pause the recording for a moment?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to head to the restroom. I'll be back.
Okay,
thank you, Charlie.
Thank you. Sorry, we just had... Oh, this says open all rooms. We don't have to worry about rooms anymore. No, there was just a... Right, right. So, you know, when you have so many versions, that's what happens, though. Okay. So, yeah, so I did want to ask, though, that's why you saw it. Do you really not want this sentence? Because it is helpful to tell them to go to HR. I mean, we don't care one way or the other.
We'll keep it.
Okay, good. Then I'll send you the one. With this, okay, because it doesn't hurt one way or the other, right? So, okay, and then I think retirement credit and so forth. Then this is the one, this is the section that you had crossed out. And that's why I said, Chuck, it's for you and me. It's benefits for, no, I'm not, we're not retiring. I'm just.
No. We're having too much fun to watch.
We're having too much fun. Benefits for retiring employees. So we changed the word a little bit. Okay. Because I think these things are really important and they mean a lot to retirees. You know, university shall make available to eligible employees upon retirement a process upon, because you're setting this up when you're still an employee. And that's why we think it's important. I mean, these are small things, but they mean a lot from what I've heard from retirees. You know, just the ability to come back, to have a parking sticker and all of that. Mailbox, this is all subject to space. They don't, you know, and all of it, even a desk, it's all subject to whether they have it or not. But there's no reason to take it out. We did modify The thing about email, because you know their work email, what we have, not the nights. So we did take that into account, but other than that, we thought that that part, because it means a lot to people who are retiring.
Okay, with the email address, there's a lot going on right now. The university is getting ready to notify everybody who's impacted by the night's email deprovisioning. So there's going to be more communication coming out,
but the, that you can
about
take
email.
That we will adjust accordingly.
Yeah, and what I want to do is take a look at the language. Can you stop? Can we go back?
Yeah.
Thank you, Tlop. When it comes to email, I will check with IT and make sure that what we say there is completely correct. And, you know, yes, retirees are now going to have the chance to request the use of an email. And I don't know that we want to specify a domain. Right now, it is the work email, but things change very, very quickly. And I don't know that it'll always be that way, but I'll check with IT.
Sure.
And then I want to scroll back to the first page. There's a couple, that's good. Look at line 27. How many people here have a parking decal?
Oh, parking permit.
Well, I mean, I would like to talk to parking and IT to make sure that we've got the right language in there, because people are not going to get a decal.
No, I just changed it on the spot.
Well, and we may have to say virtual. You know, let me check with parking. Let's get the language and.
Okay. All right. Sure.
But I think you know, we'll take a look at all these things. Some of the things in Article 24 were definitely not showstoppers for us. They were suggestions, and if there's some things that don't go over well, you know, maybe we'll just withdraw some of those suggestions. But on things on this list, I want to make sure we're saying it right, because there have been some.
That would be fine. Also, you know, we have to also find out how many people are using it. They're not probably that many people who retirees who are, you know, coming back. But on the other hand, those who are, they're probably, you know, making good use of it.
Well, I know some retirees who do take advantage of the parking privileges.
Yes.
There are.
And the thing is that, you know, we do count on some of our retirees to help out in various ways. So
let's just make sure we say it right.
Okay.
Is all I'm suggesting. But I think we can come to closure on this article pretty quickly.
I would think so. I think as I scroll down, and I'm going to do it slowly. Let's see. I think there's nothing else that's it. And yeah, and all your other changes are fine.
Okay.
Because
okay, so basically, if we take care of the references to HR,
right,
and
we'll
the
send
list of benefits for retiring employees,
right, you can take a look at it, and I think you will see that all your changes are there. We haven't touched it.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
Okay, I think that's it from my side. Let's see, did we do it all?
Talat, I just wanted to, as a point of clarification, on 32, which is the definitions, we proposed status quo. I think I heard you say that that was agreed upon, but I just wanted to make sure that one was okay as status quo.
Send it to us, and then I will take a quick
question. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure before I spend the time.
But send us one that is that has all changes accepted, so we'll take a quick look. And then
there are no changes proposed.
There's none.
That's right.
So I'll make it clear in the communication. I just wanted to. I think that's what I heard, and so I just wanted to make sure that We had a TA kind of in concept.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll send you all the articles and the
handout
shared. Yeah.
The handout. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll do that.
And so, did you want to talk about next time at all about what to?
So we have next? That's right. So we are working on, right. So did we have something to ask you? Right. So we are 9. Yeah. 9 and 19 and 20 go together. But I did want to ask you, Chuck, because 9 had mediator and we didn't see any reason to take the mediator away.
Well, we see the mediator in the same way as an arbitrator. It's an outside party that's making, in this case, a recommendation, not a decision. And what we had proposed was to actually replace that third level of the ADR dispute with a representative at the university making a decision, making a recommendation. All that does is there's a recommendation. Well, we have found occasionally we get an ADR thing. It's usually solved when the employee talks to the supervisor. One time, and it was very early in my time here in the provost office, which means it was about 10 years ago, we went to a mediator one time. I'm not aware, Charlie can correct me if I'm wrong again. I don't think it's ever gone to the dean's level. I think there was one case recently that did. We did go to the dean's level, but it got resolved.
Yes.
In the way the employee wanted it resolved. So those particular disputes have a very short fuse on them because classes are starting, someone's been assigned to teach something that they think is inappropriate. In almost every case that's come up, the supervisor, the immediate supervisor, the person that made the assignment in the first place, changes it to the satisfaction of the employee. In one case, we did have to go to the dean's level, and it was resolved. Again, it was resolved to the satisfaction of the employee. In one case, it went to a mediator. And even though in some ways, I think it could be argued that the employee benefited from the mediator's recommendation, which the university did decide to implement, but the mediator's recommendation is not binding, the employee still resigned. It wasn't enough. The ADR is considerably more rare than a grievance. The disputes about assignment don't come up that often. And when they do, they're really typically resolved very, very quickly. So I don't think it's going to matter.
I think I remember.
With what we're proposing.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's very clear that we're not resorting to, you know, an outside entity to make that decision about an employee.
Okay. Yeah, we needed that. So we'll take a look at that. We have that and 9 and 19 and 20. I believe those are the only ones in addition to what you gave us today. So
I think so. We still have an 8 that we have to get
right,
to.
Right. So I think we will work on those. We will have 19 and 20 and 9 for you next time.
Did
okay.
You also say Article 10? I missed it.
Oh no, that's right. That's right. Article 10.
Evaluation.
Right. Article 10 is one of the critical ones, isn't it?
Right. There's a lot of reorganization, not
that's
a lot of
right.
substantive change, but there's a great deal of reorganization, hoping that it'll be easier for everyone to use. That's the point.
Thank you. So yes, so I tried to do 10 and I felt that I really needed to get a little bit more time. So we will bring 10. Yes. So 9, 10, 8, and 19 and 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else we need to accomplish today?
And for 10, if we bring a clean version, does that help? Because there were so many up and down that that's why I got very confused.
Charlie, you're muted.
Mind, I just want to make sure that you know what's been changed. Okay. I don't want to be dishonest.
No, right? That's good. No, that's very good. To have that there, and then we bring a version, and then we go from there.
Yeah, if you accept all changes and document, then you can see it as clean. But
okay.
I don't want to make an appearance like I'm being disabled.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll do that. Okay. Thank you so much. And I will send you everything within the hour.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Stop the recording.
Well, okay. Thank you, everyone.